Grace Christian Church, Disciples of Christ, Monday Manna Bible Study, and we are here waiting for you. Come on in so we can get started with Bible study.
All right. It's a blessed day, and we praise God for all that he's done, all that he's doing, and all that he will do. And we're certainly grateful for him including us in his plan for this day. So we will rejoice and be glad in it, because it's a day that he's created, and we yet give him praise for all that he's done. And we thank God for each of you today. Here it is, what, the ninth day of October?
Yes.
And I tell you, October is moving kind of rapidly along, isn't it, Lady Kim?
Yes, it seems like these days are just rolling on the river.
I know, right? And we have had an opportunity to see a swift change in the weather.
Mm-hmm.
I think Saturday probably was our coldest. Was it Saturday? Saturday night leading up to Sunday morning,
yeah,
probably
was
the coldest day that we've had here in a minute. And it was a clear indication that change is on the way. And so we praise God for each of you tonight as we are getting ready for our study. We're in the 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles, chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles. There are only 20 verses there. And Lady Kim's going to lead us through this tonight. She has some valuable information that she's going to share with us as it relates to how this formulation of the kings, and how it's almost like a pattern that's continuing to come back into play with these sons. And so we want to just kind of see how that's going to affect this king tonight. And I believe Jeroboam, he's headed for major trouble. But is it Jeroboam?
Rehoboam.
I'm getting the Boams mixed up. This is Rehoboam. But he's headed for major trouble, and we're going to find out about that tonight. I hope you've had an opportunity to read it. Only 20 verses there, 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles.
Mm-hmm.
Anything you want to say before we go
into
prayer?
Yeah, you say, no, we'll go on.
Go ahead.
No, you were talking about Rehoboam. Jeroboam.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be talking about
Jeroboam.
No, we're going to be talking about Jehoram.
Jehoram. Okay. So Jeroboam and Rehoboam, they've already gone.
This
is the son, one of the sons of
This is a great grandson.
This is Jehoshaphat's son.
Yes, this is Jehoshaphat's son.
All right. We're going to get it right tonight. And that's why I said you're going to help us with this in the start, but it's a lot of history, a lot of tradition here, and 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles. But let's have prayer so we can get into it. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened over the weekend, but we praise God for each of you as you are participating and being a part of this study with us tonight. God, we're grateful for another opportunity to be in your presence and to be around your word. You said that your word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And so, God, we thank you for illuminating the way and giving us direction in terms of where we need to go, and then instructions in terms of what we need to do along the way. We ask your blessing to be upon us tonight as we engage in this study. And then, God, we ask that you would just open our eyes and just let us feel your power and your presence. And then let us see the relevance of what we are about to read, and allow this not just to be some words on a piece of paper that happened way back then, but how we can make it relevant and understand the significance of what it means for us today. So we love you, we honor you, and we thank you now for being our God. Bless each person on the call and those who will hear this Bible study later by playback. And we give you praise in advance for what you're going to do. And we just believe that something powerful is going to happen. Our faith is going to increase, because we dare to take time out even on a Monday night to gather to study your word. So we give you praise in advance for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
All right, Lady Kim, well, tell us a little bit about the worship experience on yesterday, and even if you want to go all the way back to Saturday, because we had a full weekend of events, and of course, Sunday afternoon. And it was just a full weekend.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you say?
Yes, it was. What happened Saturday? No, I'm just kidding.
All right.
We had our volunteer appreciation lunch
on Saturday. Right.
And it was awesome. So thankful for those who pulled that together. Minister Shotwell came and wanted to be in charge mm-hmm. of that. And I told her that we had been wanting to do something significant for all of the volunteers at ATOP. And she just took the reins and ran with it.
That's right.
So we just thank God for Minister Mary Shotwell. And we thank God for all of the volunteers at ATOP that volunteer their time selflessly in order that the work of the kingdom work may go forward. So we thank God for that. And then on Sunday, we had an awesome time.
Well, before you leave Saturday, Lady Kim, you know, we had some awesome food. I tell you, that was an amazing, we have some amazing cooks at ATOP. And recently, this whole idea was birthed, as you said, in Minister Shotwell's spirit about trying to recognize those who work with our Meals from the Heart program. Right. And so that's when we decided that it should be something that will help recognize all of those who serve. Because, as you indicated, we have a great cast of volunteers. They are really, Lady Kim, the feet behind beneath the ministry that helps drive the ministry. And I tell you, they work so hard, and they're committed and dedicated. And some come early and leave late. And you know, it's just awesome how God has surrounded us with so many people who are gifted and skilled. And the cooks did an excellent job with the fish, and we had chicken that we never did get a chance to taste, but spaghetti and coleslaw, and what else was on there? The tea that Miss Amelia makes, and she needs to market that, because I think she can rival what's that other tea that they have in the
Milo's,
yeah. But just hats off to the cooks and all of those who worked, and the decoration team. They had this little thing where you spin around and all of that. What do they call it?
360 camera.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. It was the theme was roll out the red carpet.
Yeah.
So they rolled out the red carpet for all of our volunteers and took lots of pictures, and we had a 360 photo booth going on mm-hmm. and pictures taken. So it was wonderful.
And had some gifts that we gave to everyone who was present. And I think a lot of people picked them up Sunday that was not able to be there.
Yes.
But a great job, great turnout. Hats off again to all of our volunteers and for those who work hard.
And those youth ushers that served, they served
Didn't
so
they serve?
Well.
Yes.
On Saturday, they served us as we picked up our food. And so they were so awesome.
That's
so we
right.
just thank God for our youth ushers who stand on the doors faithfully yeah. on the fourth Sunday. And when they're called,
they were serving this Sunday too, wasn't
yes.
it? This, yesterday.
They served some of them
yesterday.
Did.
That's
yes.
right. That's right. They so had some new shirts, didn't they?
Yes. Uh-huh. New t-shirts.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So great job. All right. So tell us a little bit about what you heard in terms of what the Lord was saying to you in the worship experience on yesterday, Lady Kim.
Well, your message title was From a Mess to a Miracle.
Mm-hmm.
And it was an interesting passage of scripture that you took that from, with Isaiah 6:1-3, where it talks about the Spirit of the Lord. 61, mm-hmm. 1-3, mm-hmm. where it says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to those who are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, mm-hmm. the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, and that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified.
Wow.
And so you had several points that if we are to move from our mess to a miracle, that God said that we have to console those who mourn in Zion.
Mm-hmm.
And by consoling those, you know, we need to overcome or help people overcome that's what right. they're going through.
That's right. That's right. And it's important there because that passage of scripture is so relevant, and this our theme. Well, really, it's our undergirding theme,
our scripture
that mm-hmm. for the ministry. And the same passage that Jesus himself used when he announced his calling in Luke, the 4th chapter. But, you know, the anointing that was on Jesus is the same anointing that should be on us.
Amen. And
we should have compassion. We should have the kind of spirit about us where we are trying not just to keep people in a place where they are, but help them move from their mess to the miracle that God yet has in store for them.
And we have to release ourselves to overcome our feelings.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
sometimes we feel, people say, some kind of way.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
but we have to get past our feelings in order for God to move and work on our behalf.
Okay. You believe that there's a miracle waiting for all of us?
Lady I do.
Kim?
I do.
How would you define a miracle? What would you, if someone were to ask you, maybe someone who's listening tonight, saying, "Well, what is a miracle?" What would you say?
Well, a miracle to me would be something that happens out of the ordinary that you know just couldn't possibly happen by human doing.
Okay, okay. Mm-hmm. So it had to be the hand of God. It
had to be the hand of
that,
God.
That moved in a miraculous way mm-hmm. to cause something unusual to happen
yes.
that would not normally happen in a normal set of circumstances.
Right, yes.
And so that can happen to all of us because many times we find ourselves in situations where it looks like it's beyond our control, or it's beyond anything that we can do to better the situation. But we serve a God who is a God of miracles. He's a miracle working God.
Yes.
And throughout the Bible, it's consistent in terms of the miracles that he was able to perform and how lives were changed and how people's lives were made better because of the fact that they trusted God. They had enough faith to believe that God was able to do something to better their situation.
Mm-hmm.
And so it is with us. Many times we get stuck in a mess that we don't think that there's any relief or any release or anything that's better than our current situation.
Right.
And so we end up just going along just to get along.
All right.
And we stay stuck in a situation that God has never intended for us to be in.
Mm-hmm.
But God wants us to be free. For the word says, he who the Son sets free is free indeed. And I just believe that once God moves us from our mess, then we'll be on the road to the miracle that he yet has in store for us.
Amen. Mm-hmm. And on the way, you know, you said something that God is like a loving parent
mm-hmm.
because he disciplines those he loves.
That's right.
And so sometimes as we're going through our mess, you know, God is showing us, he's disciplining us for something that we have gone off the rails on,
okay,
so to speak.
Okay, that's good. That's good because I used that analogy about when we were growing up, especially the old school. They don't do that anymore now. They don't discipline their children the way our parents and
you're right about
used
that.
To discipline us. And some people probably weren't shocked on yesterday, but just remembering some of the whippings that they got. And then they would make us wait, you know, on the whooping. And I don't know if your mom, who just whooped you, your mom or your dad? Or did you get whoopings?
I got plenty.
Okay. So that's why you turned out. So
that's why I turned out so good.
Uh-huh. Okay, you learned early on the difference between right and wrong.
Absolutely.
You don't have to teach a child to do wrong.
No, you have to teach them to do right.
Okay, mm-hmm. okay. You well, that's part of your educational training too,
yes.
right?
You don't have to teach a child a lie.
Okay.
You have to teach them how to tell the truth.
Okay. Okay.
So because the Bible says that we're born in sin and shaping in iniquity,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
so we automatically know how to sin. We just okay. have to retrain our lives and retrain our behavior to not sin.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So,
and if we don't get that training, then we continue down that same road.
Same road. That's what's wrong.
Destruction and devastation. Mm-hmm.
That's
that
what's
right?
wrong with these kids.
Mm-hmm.
No discipline. Yes. Daddy's whippings were the worst.
Yeah. We just had to wait for Dad to come home before we get a whipping. So
when we got a certain age, though, my mother wouldn't let my dad whip the girls anymore. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we got a certain age. She told him that she would handle it. Mm-hmm. So he obliged, but he my brother got to beat him. I remember a time they fought like two men.
Well, this is in reference to how God chastens those that he loves. And how many times when we're chastened by God is, like you talked about, going off the rails. Mm-hmm. I think God has placed rails in place. What are those things on the road when you're traveling so that cars won't just go all the way off the...
The rumble sticks?
Huh?
The guardrails?
Guardrails. God. Yeah, God places guardrails, I believe, in our lives to keep us, you know, on point.
Okay.
And so many times we go off the rail, as you were indicating earlier, and God chastens those that he loves, means that he will correct us, he will chasten us, he will whoop us, mm-hmm. you know. And so we talk a lot about the blessings of God, but many times we fail to realize that God is also a God of judgment.
Right.
And so If you love God, as I indicated on yesterday, and that you trust him and you're living by his word, then there are some things that you ought to know not to do if you are digesting this word and you're in this word and you're growing in this word and you're learning, then there are some things you ought not do.
Amen.
But God won't let you go too far and not correct you.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got some comments.
Amen.
There.
Amen. Brother Al said God places guardrails and speed
and
bumps.
Speed bumps.
That's right. He slows us down. He mm-hmm. knows how to slow us down.
Yeah.
Sometimes we have to hit that guardrail though to knock some sense into
That's
us.
Right.
And, yeah. And
get
wake
us back
us up.
On track.
Get us back on track. And those speed bumps slow us down sometimes.
That's right. That's
but
right.
Don't you thank God for the guardrails and the speed bumps Hallelujah. In your life? Amen.
I feel something there, Reverend. You got a sermon brewing right there, the guardrails and
the guardrails and the speed bumps.
And speed bumps.
I think that's Brother Al's sermon.
That's Al's sermon. All right.
Yes.
But no, we have to be mindful of that. And when we hit those guardrails, we know that we're way off track and that we need to get back on track.
Mm-hmm.
And God has a way of reminding us of what we have done. And he, you know, sin does not come without consequence.
Mm-hmm.
And all have sinned, the Bible says, and fallen short of the glory of God.
Mm-hmm.
And so God has a way of correcting us, mm-hmm. and he's not trying to drown us, but he's trying to teach us how to swim.
Amen.
As the song would say, have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I'm just the clay. Why don't you mold me and make me after thy will while I'm yet yielded, waiting and still. God wants to do something in us, and he's designed these guardrails and these speed bumps to keep us in alignment with what he's trying to get done in our lives.
And the only reason why he does it is because
he loves us. He loves us.
He loves us. And you say a lot of times he loves us so much to leave you.
He won't leave us.
He won't leave us where we
That's
are.
That's right. That's right.
So he loves us. And you had a clear analogy on yesterday. When your parent whips you,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then after they whip you, they say, I'm only doing this because I love you.
Yeah.
You know, and you like, okay, you stinging
you
bleed, my legs.
You bleeding and everything. You say, okay.
And how is this, you know, because you love me.
Right.
But we need discipline.
That's right.
We need to be kept in line. Because
mm-hmm.
if we're not disciplined, then we grow up like wild weeds.
Mm-hmm. Is that a question?
There's a question. Why does God take so long for justice for some? I get frustrated sometimes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That's a good question. And that's one that really it goes back to the timing of God. Because many times when God is trying to get something done in the earth realm, there are a whole lot of pieces that have to come in place. And I think when the believer falls off track and the judgment of God comes upon them, I think it's different than when we're going through a system where the world is not being just and not doing what's right and not even aligning themselves with what God requires of us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's almost like, you know, when we ask God for something and we're praying, mm-hmm. many times we are praying for a particular thing to happen for somebody else or to somebody else. Mm-hmm. But sometimes God is trying to get something done in us mm-hmm. so that when whatever happens, then we'll be ready for that person or that thing that we are asking God to do in somebody else's life, or a correction that we might be looking for in terms of visions in somebody else's situation.
Okay. All mm-hmm. right. Good.
Any more thoughts there?
Just some more
comments.
I thank God for those guardrails. Good evening, Brother Emil Bransford,
all right.
up in Flint, Michigan.
Flint, Michigan.
God bless you. And then Dr. Olu said, the Lord disciplines those he loves.
Yes. Seemed like Dr. Butler had a comment there somewhere. Go back up a little bit. I think she was alluding to something. Do we see it?
If we trust God, he will make our life a miracle.
Okay. That's good. All right. Well, anything else, Lady Kim, on the experience on yesterday? We had another person come and become a part of the body of Christ called church and become a member of ATOP.
Amen.
And,
awesome.
You know, it just, I was just so overjoyed with Sister Annie Cunningham, you know?
Yeah.
She really, her light is shining and her witness is of such where she's inviting young people to come, probably some that are her immediate family and mm-hmm. relationship there, but it's obvious that she's walking the walk, not
Amen.
Just on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so important. And people, when people see that your life is different and that God is working in your situation and you overcoming and you're continuing to be faithful, they'll start asking some questions.
Yes, they
you
will.
Know? And so
yes,
I praise will. God for Sister Annie. She's on a walker and she's getting around. She's not driving now. She's had one of those almost like a race car,
mm-hmm.
and I think it was a Charger that she used to drive, and she'd take off when she'd leave, but now she has to get, I think that's her grandson that brings her to church now.
I'm not sure.
Uh-huh. But she also initiated him coming to join, and he's mm-hmm. going to be baptized this Sunday coming up.
Amen.
And
awesome.
So we're so grateful for even
a witness
that continues to prevail in the midst of these trying times that we live in.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Anything else?
No, I think we need to
move on
and get to our text.
Our study.
Yes.
Well, all of this is relevant because it's going to tie right in with this discipline that we were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll see when we start talking about this particular chapter. We're in the 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles, and there's another shift and a change in leadership here. We see that, who was it who had passed on? Jehoshaphat is now dead, and one of his sons now has taken over the reins.
Yes.
And was that kind of transition look like?
Well, if we go all the way back to King David, we all know David who danced before the Lord, David who had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba.
Okay.
Their son, after David died, King David, Solomon began to reign.
Okay.
And when Solomon reigned, after Solomon reigned and he died, the kingdom was split into two,
mm-hmm.
into the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom.
Okay.
Now, the southern kingdom was Judah, and it had two tribes, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. And the northern king, and it was the king of the southern kingdom was Rehoboam. I keep getting them mixed up. Rehoboam was the southern, reigned over the southern kingdom called Judah. And then Jeroboam, who used to be a servant of Rehoboam and rebelled against Solomon, he became the king of the northern kingdom with 10 tribes in the northern kingdom. So we're going to stick with the lineage of King David. So there was David, then Solomon, then Rehoboam. Then during Rehoboam's reign, Solomon died. The kingdom is split in two. Then after Rehoboam was Abijam, and we had a little bit about him a couple of weeks ago. Then Asa. Then Jehoshaphat, we talked about last week.
Mm-hmm.
Now Jehoshaphat's son is going to begin to reign. And his name is Jehoram.
Jehoram.
Jehoram, yes.
Okay.
So this is where we come in on the 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles.
Okay.
When Jehoshaphat dies.
Okay.
And his son takes over.
Okay. Now, this is an interesting chapter because we see that Jehoram, what's his name?
Jehoram.
He finds himself going back to some of the ways of those who were not doing what was pleasing in God's sight.
Amen.
And as a result, he had a penalty to pay, just like we were talking about the chastening of God.
Yes.
And how when he went off the rail, mm-hmm. you know, did not follow the guidance that God had laid. And so he did some very foolish and wicked things mm-hmm. that God was not pleased with. And we see that even the prophet had to come in and warn him
right.
and let him know that what he has done was not going, he's not going to make it out of this.
Right.
And God was going to punish him as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was King, who was that, the prophet that came to him? Well, you're going to read it here. I think that was, go ahead, Lady Kim, and read. You said the first six, it was Elijah, I believe, one of them that came to him. You're going to read the first seven verses
yes.
of the 21st chapter, and then I think it's going to come out in this particular reading about how the prophet had to come to Jehoram. It was Elijah, the prophet, in verse number 12, had to come to him with a special warning about how he was doing evil in the sight of God.
Amen.
Okay.
All right, beginning with the first verse of chapter 21 of 2 Chronicles. Now Jehoshaphat slept with his fathers and was buried with his father in the city of David. And Jehoram, his son, reigned in his stead. And he had brethren, the sons of Jehoshaphat, Azariah and Jehiel and Zechariah and Azariah and Michael and Shephathani. All these were sons of Jehoshaphat, king of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And their father gave them great gifts of silver and gold and of precious things with fenced cities in Judah. But the kingdom gave he to Jehoram because he was the firstborn.
Okay.
Now when Jehoram was risen up to the kingdom of his father, he strengthened himself and slew his brothers with the sword, and divers also of the princes of Israel.
Mm-hmm.
Jehoram was 32 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 8 years in Jerusalem. And he walked in the way of the kings of Israel, like as did the house of Ahab. For he had a daughter of Ahab to wife, and he wrought that which was evil in the eyes of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Howbeit the Lord would not destroy the house of David because of the covenant that he had made with David, and as he promised to give a light to him and to his sons forever.
Okay, that's the first seven verses.
Yes.
Okay, so Jehoram, he's in charge now.
His
dad has passed on, Jehoshaphat. And he was the oldest of how many sons?
Six.
Six sons. And he was the one who would take the throne because he was the firstborn.
Yes.
And as a result, the Bible says that he was established, or that he began to take complete control of the kingdom. And so one of his first acts of wickedness was to kill his brothers.
Every last one of them.
And part of what the background tells us, Lady Kim, is that his brothers probably were a little bit smarter than he was. But the custom and tradition would have it that the firstborn would be the one who would be passed down the torch, so to speak. And so his dad, Jehoshaphat, was willing to honor that, even though some of the other sons may have displayed the kind of skill that would have been necessary in order for them to be successful. Mm-hmm. But it would have probably even been worse had he not abided by the tradition of passing it to the firstborn,
right,
and overlooking him and giving it to someone else.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, that tradition, you know, was that if the king had other sons, he would give those the oldest one the reign, the, mm-hmm, the kingship, but he would give cities or provinces to his
equally
other sons,
divided among the others.
Yes, and they would scatter them throughout the kingdom and away from the capital, so that they would not be a concentrated threat to his one son that would succeed him.
Okay,
you know, and so that's what happened to Jehoram.
Jehoram. And so, I mean, that was kind of awkward for him to kill his brothers like that. But
yes, Lord.
He was power hungry and he was power thirsty. And we were talking about this earlier, how even if you look at this and how it plays out even today, it's a different kind of killing. It's a different kind of wickedness. But we're really doing some of the same things that were happening back then. We're not literally just killing people off. In some senses, we are black on black crime, but you know, this thing is just out of control, just like it was back then. And people are hungry for power and for you know, being in charge and want to be out front and without any discipline and without even any guardrails, mm-hmm, you know, in terms of them staying on track. Mm-hmm. And so we see this playing out here. And as a result of what happened, he was a young man, 32 years old when he started. And so he was the eldest of the son. So mm-hmm, his younger brethren were, I don't know, they didn't say their ages, but
they were younger than he was.
Yeah.
At least by 9 months.
Absolutely. And God did not, he could have destroyed the kingdom right then, but he kept the covenant that he had established with David. Mm-hmm. And that's what prevailed in terms of him not just destroying the whole kingdom. But as we read on, we'll see some interesting things begin to develop here.
Amen. And that was like the times back then. That's mm-hmm, what kings did to strengthen themselves. They fought against other nations and then captured their people and enslaved them and took all their stuff. And so that made them more rich and more powerful.
Mm-hmm.
Jehoram started with his own family.
Yeah,
that's sad. You know, he killed his brothers and took over their
possessions
and land and property so that he could be greater, mm-hmm, in the eyes of the people. So that there wouldn't be any threat against his reign.
Okay.
So, like you said, he was 32 years old and he reigned 8 years. So he got on the throne young, but he died young.
Yeah.
Because he reigned 8 years. And so that means he died at the age of 40.
Okay. You want to pick it up at verse number, I believe 8. Is that right?
Yes.
Okay.
We're going to talk about the consequences of Jehoram's sin.
Okay.
In his days, the Edomites revolted from under the dominion of Judah and made themselves a king. Then Jehoram went forth with his princes and all his chariots with him. And he rose up by night and smote the Edomites, which compassed him in, and the captains of the chariots. So the Edomites revolted from under the hand of Judah unto this day. The same time also did Libnah revolt from under his hand, because he had forsaken the Lord God of his fathers. Moreover, he made high places in the mountains of Judah and caused the inhabitants of Jerusalem to commit fornication and compelled Judah thereto. And there came a writing to him from Elijah the prophet, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of David thy father, Because thou hast not walked in the ways of Jehoshaphat thy father, nor in the ways of Asa king of Judah, but has walked in the way of the king of Israel, and has made Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to go a-whoring, like to the whoredoms of the house of Ahab, and also has slain thy brethren of thy father's house, which were better than thyself. Mm-hmm. Behold, with a great plague will the Lord smite thy people and thy children and thy wives and all thy goods. And thou shalt have a great sickness by disease of thy bowels, until thy bowels fall out by reason of sickness day by day. Moreover, the Lord stirred up against Jehoram the spirit of the Philistines and of the Arabians that were near the Ethiopians. And they came up to Judah and break into it and carried away all the substance that was found in the king's house, and his sons also and his wives, so that there was never a son left save Jehoaz, the youngest of the sons. And after all this, the Lord smote him in his bowels of an incurable disease. And it came to pass that in the process of time, after the end of 2 years, his bowels fell out by reason of his sickness, and he died of sore diseases. And his people made no burning for him like the burning of his father. 32 years old was he when he began to reign, and he reigned in Jerusalem 8 years and departed without being desired. Hmm. Howbeit, they buried him in the city of David, but not in the sepulchers of the kings.
Wow, wow. 8 years of what he considered to be power, wealth, and prestige, going against the grain and mm-hmm. not living up to the standards that God has set in place.
Mm-hmm. And then when he died,
nobody even cared.
They didn't even mourn his death. They were glad he was dead.
And didn't bury him among the other
kings. If that's not dissing somebody,
tell me what
that's
is.
That's dishonor right there. You're
that's
not
right.
going to even bury him in the same cemetery with the kings. You're just going to bury him in a grave somewhere
yep,
else.
And keep going. And no kind of ceremony or anything. And so as a result, as you already indicated, Lady Kim, Elijah, the prophet, that's who I was trying to think of, you know, earlier. He sent him a letter and he told him, and he even mentioned to him that his brothers were smarter than he was. Mm-hmm. And I think that Jehoram, he understood that, and he, you know, he probably sensed that, and he was threatened by the fact that they had more wisdom, you know, even though they were younger. But God had allowed his dad, Jehoshaphat, to stay in the culture and anoint his eldest son to be the next king. Mm-hmm. And so he just went off the rails, mm-hmm. and he was out of control. Mm-hmm. But God struck him with, the Bible says, a bowel disease. Yeah.
Wow.
And that was amazing, wasn't it?
Yes.
And so he was in much pain, and he suffered a terrible death, and he died, the Bible says, in much pain mm-hmm. because of that disease, and his bowels burst open mm-hmm. in the last days of his life, and nobody mourned his death.
That's sad. Yeah. That's sad, you know. And we can imagine, you know, just having a stomach ache, you know, but, you know, a plague came upon all those people, you know, some kind of bowel disease.
Mm-hmm.
So can you imagine a COVID-19 type plague,
mm-mm.
but the symptoms were of a bowel disease?
Wow.
Man, that's
unimaginable.
That's
a messy situation.
That's a messy situation.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so it all came to pass, as we've already indicated. And part of what I see here, Lady Kim, is that we have to stay faithful and true to the covenant that God has established. And we have to be mindful of that, even though we might want to enjoy the pleasures of being in charge for a moment, then it's not worth the eternal damnation that will happen when you disavow what God has set in place for you to
mm-hmm.
do.
Mm-hmm. And we also know that his father, Jehoshaphat, had set in place, you know, that were against what he was doing. But Jehoram turned around and allowed fornication and you know,
idolatry.
To come in. And he allowed people to participate in that.
Mm-hmm.
And that was why God was angry, because his father Jehoshaphat and a few kings before him had not allowed it.
That's
they
right.
had
That's
torn
right.
down the high places.
And he built them back up.
He built them back up.
Yeah. And those high places are the places where they had all these images and graven statues and all of that, that were akin to worshiping other gods,
mm-hmm.
and also aligning themselves with the allegiance of those who were not trusting God for their well-being.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
And so a terrible way to end, a terrible way to really lose everything that God has given you, because you dare to step out and try to do it your way, when God had already given him a plain path to victory, and the prophet had to show up and just explain to him what was about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So what would we say be some of the bottom lines for this particular chapter? There's only 20 verses here, and we've already gone through those. We're in the 21st chapter of 2 Chronicles. But what would you say would be some of the lessons that we could learn from this particular chapter here today?
Well, one of the things is, you know, be aware of jealousy,
okay,
and ungodliness in the area of leadership.
Mm.
You know, Jehoram was jealous.
Mm-hmm.
He was jealous of his brothers.
Right.
That's why he took them out. You know, so an ungodliness in the area of leadership, when he built up those idol gods,
mm-hmm.
and allowed people
mm-hmm.
to worship those idol gods and commit fornication,
mm-hmm.
and all kinds of evil acts went on. And another thing is that he married Ahab's
daughter.
Mm-hmm. And Ahab's daughter encouraged him to do wicked things.
Right, right.
We're going to see, I think in the next chapter, Jehoram's son,
the youngest, they spared him.
His youngest son.
Yeah.
They we're gonna get into that next week, mm-hmm. probably when they kill all of Jehoram's children except the youngest son, and
right.
his mother encouraged him to do evil things.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that's next week. Right?
That's next week, though.
All
yes,
right.
I'm jumping ahead.
All right. Don't tell us about the movie before we see it.
Okay, y'all forget you heard that. Rewind.
All right, so the lesson is applicable to us even today, right?
Yes.
Beware of jealousy and ungodliness in the area of leadership.
Yes, and as leaders, we have to be careful that we're not puffed up and that
okay.
we do things for the right reason. You know, we can easily go off the rails.
Right,
you
right,
know?
Right.
We can easily get puffed up with pride.
That's right.
And want to take others out.
Mm-hmm.
Not kill them, take them out, but you know
but
how
you can kill their spirit, you can kill their desires.
And do underhanded things.
Their dreams, their vision, and cause them to not be successful in terms of what they're trying to achieve.
Mm-hmm.
And just as the Lord sent a plague back then,
mm-hmm.
He'll send one now.
Amen.
And many times we're trying to figure out what's this all about, you know, and God might be setting some things in motion to get our attention, you know.
Amen.
And so we have to be mindful of that in terms of us. That God rail thing is kind of sticking tonight. We got to be mindful of not going off the rails.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen. That means stay in the lane.
Stay in your lane.
Stay in your lane.
That's right.
You know, because if we don't, then we can cause others to falter.
That's right.
You know,
right.
Because those that we are leading are looking to us to be as as an example. Mm-hmm. And if they see wickedness in us, if they see us doing ungodly things, mm-hmm. then they'll think that that's the way you're that's supposed to do things. That's the way it's supposed things. To
be, yeah. Yes. Then when something happens, everybody's affected.
Absolutely. And I heard someone say, I started to say, I heard an old person say, but I keep forgetting I'm an old person now. I forgot what I was going to say. No, they said, so goes the leader, so goes the group. Okay. Or so is the leader, so goes the group.
Okay. As the leader goes, so goes the followers. Yes.
So if you have a wicked or corrupt leader, you're going to have a wicked and corrupt group.
Okay.
Eventually. Mm-hmm. Now, you might have a few honest people.
That's trying to do right and right, trying to live
by. But by far, you know, the whole majority of the group is going to go the same direction that the leader is going.
Okay. Any comments there we need to share?
Well, Brother Martez says he's never been in leadership, but he believes we must stay consistent with God's teaching in order to be successful in anything in life.
That's right.
Anything that we do in life, we have to stay consistent with God's word.
That's right.
That's how we achieve in life, mm-hmm. by staying in the lane,
yeah,
holding it in the road, mm-hmm. being consistent in season and out of season with God's word.
Trusting in the Lord with all of our hearts and leaning not to our own understanding. Mm-hmm. All of our ways, acknowledging Him.
And He's
promised to direct our path.
Yes.
Then Matthew 6:33 says, seek first what?
The kingdom of God
and His righteousness. Then all of these other things will be added unto us.
Yeah.
And so we have to stay the course and we have to stay focused in our efforts to please God.
You're right. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, Lady Kim, this has been an abbreviated study tonight, and our time is, we have a few more minutes. Let's see if there are any prayer requests from those who are viewing tonight. We want you to go ahead and put them in the chat. We're certainly grateful for each of you being on this particular study tonight. Next week, we're going to tackle the 22nd chapter, and we'll see where Jehoram's son begins to take shape, his youngest son. They spared him in the midst of all of this disaster that just had taken place here in the 21st chapter. But it's going to be a powerful lesson that's going to come out of this 22nd chapter as it relates to leaders serve their people and their purpose. And you'll see some of that coming out on next week. As we said, you don't want to open that book up and show the video just yet. Mm-hmm. But we want to wait till next week so that we can get a clear snapshot of everything that's happening.
Amen. Dr. Olu said we must not act like God is too far to hold us accountable. Amen. Hallelujah to that.
What did she say?
God is not too far to hold us accountable.
I know, right?
We think God is some cosmic person in the, you know, way up there in outer space somewhere, mm-hmm. looking down, and He's too far to chasing us, or He's too far to hold us accountable. But mm-hmm. God is not far away.
He's Emmanuel.
Yes.
He's God with us.
Yes.
So any other prayer requests that you might have as we're preparing to wrap it up tonight? Brother Jefferson has one there. Did you get that, Lady Kim?
I'm getting it.
Okay. And then Sister Jessica is asking for prayer as well. But we're certainly grateful for each of you tonight as Lady Kim, she's capturing these requests that have come in. And those who are on the streaming side as well, we praise God for your participation and cooperation, even though we can't see your comments or your remarks. And we ask that you will continue to be obedient to the things of God and stay aligned with His will for your life and allow this word to guide you. His word is indeed a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. And He's promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said He'd be with us always, even until the end. Mm-hmm. And so we can count on God. God has mm-hmm. promised that He would never leave us nor forsake us. He said He'd be with us always, even until the end. Mm-hmm. And God loves us too much to leave us where we are. Mm-hmm. So we can always count on God. And so even as Lady Kim has captured those prayer requests tonight, don't forget now on Thursday we have our we have our next session of our module for outreach and evangelism. Evangelism will take place this week. And Evangelist Patterson will be leading us this Thursday in our Institute for Leadership Training. And then, of course, Friday and Saturday, we have some things going on. If you want to share that with us before you get to your prayer request.
Yes, on Friday night, don't forget our Luminary Walk. If you have not purchased the Luminary Bag, you can do so on Friday night at 6 o'clock. Once the walk starts at 7, you can come and walk with us. We hope you will walk with us on Friday evening, starting at 7 o'clock. And then on Saturday, don't forget our combined, well, first we're going to have our ministers meeting at 9 o'clock a.m. And then we will have a combined new members and leadership class on this Saturday at 10 o'clock from 10 to 12 noon. So we're looking for all of our new members and all of our leaders. Leaders
and the Institute ministers, too, right? Workshop will happen Saturday as well. Isn't that right?
No, that's the next Saturday.
Okay. Okay.
That's the next Saturday.
All right. All right. Yeah. You're the keeper of the...
Keeper of the calendar.
Yeah.
Yes. So, but they're welcome to come too. They're
Absolutely.
Welcome to
so
come.
So the Institute is not going to gather this Saturday?
No. Okay. Because we have it on Thursday.
Okay.
We don't...
And then they will have the workshop
on
the following Saturday.
Yes.
Is that right? Is the commissioner on the line?
All right. And so while he's waiting for his answer, then Sunday is All Pink Sunday. So we're pink or all pink or a touch of pink, tad pink somewhere. We're going to be celebrating cancer survivors. We're going to be lifting up in prayer those who have succumbed to cancer. And also those who are still in the fight. We're going to be lifting them up. And then following service, we're going to have a balloon release. So just to remember.
We're waiting to hear from the dean.
Waiting to hear from the dean?
Yeah, she's on the call. So I call her the commissioner, but we're waiting on the dean.
Our workshop is not this Saturday, but the next.
Is the dean on the call? That's what we want to know so we can get some instructions and direction.
And then he said, you there, dean. No.
So she's not going to say nothing.
Probably not.
Okay. Let me call on the phone. All right.
Okay, so we also have prayer requests tonight that we want to lift up. Our time is getting short. We want to lift up Dr. Angela Hargrave and her husband Jim Hargrave and the loss of Dr. Hargrave's mother, Hilda Barnes. That funeral was on yesterday. And then we want to lift up Sister Linda Porter and the loss of her sister, Mildred Carpenter. And that funeral will be on next Monday at Castalia Baptist Church on Airways at 11 o'clock a.m. And then we have prayers that have been on the line for ATOP leaders. Eddie Jefferson, Brother Jefferson is asking for prayer for Eddie Jefferson, the Jefferson family. Dr. Olu is asking for prayers for her cousin in Utah. Sister Jessica is asking for prayers for herself. So we just want to lift up. And we also have, did I say ATOP leadership?
Mm-hmm.
We want to lift them up in our prayers. All right. Are we ready for prayer tonight?
Yes.
Let's go to God in prayer. Precious Jesus, how we love you. We bless you and we honor you, God, for you alone are worthy to be praised. We ask in the name of Jesus that you would comfort the hearts of those who are bereaved tonight, oh God. We ask that you would lift the heavy burden from them. We know that the sting of death is great, but beyond the sting of death is your gracious and loving arms. So we thank you, God. We ask that you would comfort Dr. Angela and her family, comfort Sister Linda and her family, comfort Sister Rucker and Mother Pearl Manning and the loss of that niece. We ask, oh God, that you would bless those who are sick tonight, God. We lift up Eddie Jefferson to you, God. We lift up Dr. Olu's cousin to you in Utah. Whatever Sister Jessica stands in need of, God, we ask that you would just deliver in a mighty way. Whatever Brother Jefferson's family needs, God, we ask that you would deliver right now in the name of Jesus. And so we thank you. We thank you tonight, God, for all that you've done in our lives, all that you're doing, and all that you will do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. And praise God.
Excuse me.
All right. Well, we praise God for each of you tonight, and we hope that you have enjoyed this time together. And don't forget to prepare for next week with the 22nd chapter as we continue to move through 2 Chronicles.
Amen. Good night, everybody. Have a blessed week, rest of the week. Bye-bye.
Right.